Okay, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. The psalmist, of course, King David, always understood what it was to be attacked and always had enemies. And as long as you and I live here on this earth, we'll always have enemies. People who oppose the gospel, people who are envious. So although you may read that and you say, well, that's quite the prayer he prayed. I guess the whole point of the psalm is that we would consider some of the aspects that God sees all of these things. So David goes on to write for us, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. As we break bread today, that's what we do, is we remember God's mercy and God's love. You can write down Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 next to that verse. David goes on to write, remember not the sins of my youth, in my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. As we come to break bread, we all recognize that we need to be here. We need to be here daily. Because breaking bread is simply an expression of our communion with God. And as whether you kneel by your bed or you hold hands around your table and you give thanks, or those times when you've failed and you've confessed and you've asked forgiveness either of a family member or another believer, you're reminded of your sin, your frailty. And so we're here because we need God's refreshing and to be reminded that he loves us even though we're sinful and imperfect. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. That's what God wants to do. He's given us his word to instruct us how to live. So we wouldn't, of course, keep making the same mistakes, although I often find that I do. Verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. This was a truth that was taught to national Israel, because they understood that in Old Testament times that the nation of Israel didn't always have the land. There are times when they were brought into servitude, other nations would come upon them. The Lord confides, verse 14, in those who fear him, he makes his covenant known to them. As we break bread, my eyes are ever on the Lord. That's where our eyes need to be focused. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that we are to set our eyes on Jesus. He's the author, perfecter of our faith. I'll just stop reading here at this time. It's good to break bread with you and just pray that you would not view breaking bread as something that is just commonplace, but that it is always a delight to meet with our Father, to remember the work of His Son, and to consider the privilege of just fellowshipping together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to provide opportunity for some of you to share some different thoughts, a lead in prayer, reading of God's Word.
Turn with me to John chapter 15, beginning of the chapter. I've probably read these verses for communion before, but I guess for some reason I'm going back to them. John chapter 15, verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can't do anything. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, so that my joy in you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Jesus wants us to abide in him. We have trusted him for our salvation, and where he talks about you're going to be thrown away and you're going to dry up and all those kind of things. He's talking about if we don't abide in him, we become useless. We are no good to his kingdom. We don't bear any fruit. And I think just participating in communion here is part of abiding in him. It's a very intimate thing that we do when we have communion together, and it's part of abiding in him, trusting him. And as he says in verse 9 or 10 there, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, and that's what abiding is all about. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to be on the earth here, not only to die for our sins, but to teach us these valuable truths, to help us understand what you really want from us. You don't want sacrifices. You don't want all kinds of things like that, but you want us to love you. You want us to be obedient to you and follow you. And I pray, Father, for each one of us here today that you would just give us the strength that we need each day so that we can do that. In Jesus' name.
Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, starting verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Let's pray. God, we're grateful to you that even while we were sinners, you demonstrated your love for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We all have sinned, and you made a way for us to be reconciled to you, to stand before you in your presence. That is humbling, Lord. And this morning we remember the sacrifice that you made so that we could do that, so that we could have the privilege of having a relationship with you. Pray that we would take that to heart, Lord, every day as we live out in obedience to you. In your name, amen.
Ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. Start reading at verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus. I do thank you that in your word that we read of the greatest example of love, humility. And I'm just thinking of one of the times when you washed the disciples' feet shortly before the crucifixion, showing humility, showing love. I pray as we meditate on this and other passages this morning that it will encourage us and it will strengthen us to be more like you and to show love to others, Lord, even when it's tough sometimes, to look to you as an example of how we should love. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name, amen.
You can turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, Sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were weary, for heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Let's give thanks for what the Lord has done. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you that you endured the cross, and it wasn't an easy thing for you. Lord, we know that you have called us to come by your side and to give our lives as well and to watch and pray. Lord, we just pray that you would help us with that. Help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Roughly 1986, a young man that just read the passage of Scripture was standing before me as a little boy and placed his trust in Christ. The Word of God says that no one can enter unless we become like children in our understanding, in our willingness to trust and what he has promised. And I just want to assure you that I still very much feel like a young boy in the things of God, just learning, trying to understand God's marvelous grace. We've been reading through the book of Revelation. That was a passage that we read this morning, Revelation chapter 1. Those of you who are serving Communion this morning, if you could come forward at this time. Every time I read anything that John has written, I'm reminded of the kind of intimacy that the Lord wants us to have. Kevin Oshevsky and I have a secret handshake. Sometimes I get it wrong. Stefan and I have a sort of a special little bond as well. Julianne, I don't know where she is this morning. There she is. She and I have a little special bond, too. I recognized her red shoes on Facebook. You see, God takes notice of each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has probably at this, wherever you're at in your walk and your understanding, have a unique relationship with the Lord. The Apostle John had a very special relationship with the Lord. And I think the Bible has preserved his writings so that we would understand that that's the kind of relationship that God wants with each of us. I forgot to mention Lynn. Lynn and I have a special relationship too. She shakes my hand so hard I jump. What is your relationship like with God? Does he make you smile? When you read his word and you see his marvelous love, does he make you smile? Do you rejoice in the fact that you have sins forgiven? John is an elderly man as he writes this book. And he says in verse 3, Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. because the time is near. What time is that? Well, the time is that the Lord is going to return. Only this time, as he comes, he'll be coming in judgment. But he's coming to rescue his church, and he's coming to rescue his people, the nation of Israel, to fulfill his promises made to them, and to transform our bodies into a similar likeness to his own, where we will be imperishable and immortal. So verse 4, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. John put that in such a way that although he walked with the Lord Jesus, although he saw him sleeping in the bow of the boat and watched him give great messages and raise the dead and so on, he understood that this one whom he loved was the one who was and the one who is and the one who is to come. Our God reigns, we sing the song. But our God is eternal, one with whom we worship and commune even as we speak. It goes on to say in verse 5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Little do the kings know. You can write down Psalm 2 next to that verse. What struck me as I read this verse, the next verse, pardon me, was how can I respond to his love? I don't know if you read the word with the idea of knowing how to respond to God, but John wants us to respond in a corporate manner. He wants us to do this together. He wants us to all be focused on Jesus Christ. And so he writes with us in mind. He says, to him who loves us, to him who loves us, to him who loves, yes, to him. And then it says, and freed us from our sins. Freed. I can just imagine, John, I don't think he had a ballpoint pen. However, he may have been able to put this down on whatever materials he had. But as he probably wrote that word freed, although an older man and probably was already sensing and feeling the aging process, but he probably whispered under his breath, free, free, I'm free. Freed from sin by his blood. And then it says, is made us to be a kingdom. We're a kingdom around the world. If you're interested about what God is doing, you just have to Google it. You can find out. You can find out the many things that God is doing around the world. It's all there for everyone to see. Lives are being transformed. People coming to Christ by the thousands, millions, a kingdom and then priests. Priests who intercede, mediate on behalf of others, who pray, who serve, who dedicate their lives to God. That's what we are. You may not feel like serving, but one day when you meet Him, you'll come to that place and you say, how can I not but serve Him? But as you do so willingly today, He promises to reward you for that service. And so I anticipate that John was thinking, although he was there alone, he had met Christians in Ephesus and all throughout his lifetime. And he would probably say, as we were singing, sing with me, right? To Him be glory and power forever and ever. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. We have pictures in Scripture that remind us of the throng of people from every tribe and every nation that will be saying, to Him be glory, power, and honor forever and ever. And the church, we today, even though we've had different experiences in this sin-torn world, are here in unity to break bread and to remember the great price that was paid so that we would be free. And we get to say in anticipation of that glorious day when we will meet Him, and there will be no doubt about it, all of us will say, to Him be glory and power and honor forever and ever. And so as you break bread today, may you break bread with joy. May you break bread knowing, although we do not yet know what we shall be, we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. And there won't be any more sorrow or dying and crying. It'll be joy forevermore. Well, for some kids here, say, you mean I won't be able to rollerblade anymore? No, not like that. Won't be able to bike anymore? No, not necessarily like that. I don't want you to think in those terms. You'll be happier than you could ever, possibly, ever imagine. One father told his son, after his son discovered that he was on his way to heaven, he says, Dad, will there be any skateboard ramps up in heaven? Father says, Son, if that's what make you happy, that's what God will do. Because God is interested in you having joy. I trust that you have joy today because of your sins forgiven. Peace with God. Ask one of the brethren here to give thanks for the loaf.
Lord, this morning we come together as believers and we remember what you did for us. Remember that you came to earth in physical form. We remember that your body was battered and bruised. And we remember that you did that willingly because you chose to do it. And Lord, as we take this bread this morning, we remember that sacrifice. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your willingness to give your life, to have your Son Jesus give his life for our sins, that we could be justified and that we could be free. I thank you that we can gather here on a morning like this to fellowship with you and with each other. I do thank you so much for the blood that you willingly spilled for us. Just pray that you will continue to bless us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Mike is leaving on tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow at supper time. He's going to several different countries, China and Singapore, and with Transworld Radio, and trying to get the free grace gospel out there, and that it's part of the information that goes out on the airwaves. And we want to pray for him this morning as he goes out there. He's going on our behalf, basically, and our prayers are with him. But we also want to take this time to just wish him well, and also that our prayers are with him. Father, we thank you that you're an awesome God. You have this great big world, and we're in this little place here, and yet you've called us to affect the world around us. And we thank you for Mike's enthusiasm for the gospel and his willingness to go. And we pray, Father, that as he goes here, that a part of us would go with him. Father, that you would protect him and watch over him, and that you would create opportunities that we couldn't even imagine. Father, places and people that we could never reach, but Father, that this would be part of your great plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'd like to do is have you sort of join together in the middle here, and I'll get on a chair and try to get a picture from the front, and have to do that.